episode of Pinchas, killing two people, is recorded at the end of Balak. Here in the beginning of Pinchas, the Torah records Hashem's response and the reward that Hashem bestows upon Pinchas. In Pasuk Yud Gimel of Perek Chafei, it says, "V'hoysa lo ulazaro acharav bris kuhnas olam." And the question is obvious. If Hashem is giving priesthood, is giving kuhuna to Pinchas and his descendants, why doesn't Pinchas, by virtue of the fact that he's the son of Elazar, have kuhuna on his own? Why does he need Hashem to grant him kuhuna? Rashi addresses this point. Rashi says, "Afal pi shekfar nosna kuhuna lizaro shel Aaron." And since kuhuna was bestowed upon the descendants of Aaron, Pinchas should be included in kuhuna. He's already a Kohen. It's like the joke that they say, you know, make me a Kohen, but he's already a Kohen. So Rashi's answer is, "Lo nitna el li Aaron ulubanav shenimshechu imo ulutoldosehem shiolidu achar hamshechosam." The sanctification of the families of kuhuna would apply to Aaron, who is anointed, his children who are anointed, and those who would be born to his children subsequently, but not those who were born to Aaron at the time of the Meshicha, but yet were not Nimshach, they did not have Meshicha. Aval Pinchas shenolad kodem lachein, so Pinchas was already born at the time of the appointment of Aaron ubanav as Kohanim, and therefore Pinchas could not have picked up kuhuna from his father, since he already lived at the time that his father was anointed as a Kohen. He would have had to have had his own personal anointment, v'lo nimshach. And Rashi says that Pinchas was not anointed, and therefore he did not receive kuhuna. Lo balichal kuhuna ad kan. He did not receive kuhuna, except now, at this moment, after killing Cosby, and in Zimri, in this act of kanos, as a reward for that, Pinchas was granted kahuna. So let's raise a few questions over here. Rashi doesn't really answer the question why Pinchas is not a Kohen. I mean, technically, he sets it up in the history and the development of the logistics that since kahuna would have had to come in one of two ways, either through Zera Achrov or through a Meshicha, none of those two ways applied in the case of Pinchas. He fell between the cracks. He didn't pick up kuhuna on his own, nor from his father Elazar. But Rashi never really answers the question why Pinchas wasn't anointed. Why wasn't he chosen initially, like the offspring later on of Elazar, as a Kohen? Why wasn't he appointed a Kohen? Another question that we want to raise here is that Chazal indicated there were detractors, those who sat on the sidelines and did everything but cheer Pinchas. Let's try to understand on a deeper level what their claim was, their argument against Pinchas. A third question we want to raise here is the yichus of Pinchas here, as described by, as testified by the Torah, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. This is very atypical. Why would the Torah go all the way back to his grandfather? That's unusual. And we'll see, Rashi has a pshat, and maybe we'll take it a little in a different way. What we want to first analyze is the Shem Mishmuel of the Sukkot Shavuot. This is Shnas Tafresh Ayin, which appears on page Shin Nun Zayin. After quoting Rashi, and V'chein Shaninu Bizvachim, there's also a Gemara in Zvachim, which Rashi quotes here, "Lo niskain Pinchas ad shahargul Zimri." The impression you get is that kahuna was not granted to Pinchas. Pinchas was not bechlal kedushas kahuna until after he killed Zimri, and as a reward for killing Zimri. And the Maharal Mi'Prag asks the following question: Why wasn't Pinchas Nimshach from the beginning? Why do we have to wait until after he killed Zimri to receive Kedushas Kuhuna? And first, the Shem Yishmuel suggests an answer based on the Zohar, but what he's going to analyze the Zohar in the light of Rashi's premise that Kahuna was granted after the killing of Zimri, and that is the Gemara in Zvachim Lo Niskayin Pinchas Ad Shehargo LeZimri. The Zohar says, Kol Kohen Dekatel Nefesh Pasol LeKuhunasa LeAlmin, for all eternity. In other words, a Kohen who kills a Nefesh is disqualified for Kahuna. And under that law, since Pinchas took Zimri's life, he would therefore be disqualified as a Kohen. And the Zohar says it explicitly. It says, Pinchas Mindina Pasol LeKuhuna Hava. Pinchas was indeed disqualified. Ubegain de kanale la kodesh baruch for the kina, the maisa kanos on the behalf of kodesh baruch hu. Therefore, kodesh baruch hu gave kahuna, or to be more precise, as the Shem Yishmuel would define it, Hakodesh baruch hu removed the psul kahuna. He froze or suspended the psul kahuna, which would have resulted from the murder of Zimri, and therefore Pinchas is, so to speak, reinstated as a Kohen. And the Shem Yishmuel says this is not Rashi's pshat. Ein pirush b'shvil shaharig as Zimri, not like Rashi would have based on the Gemara in Zvachim, that Pinchas became a Kohen as a result of killing Zimri, meaning that Pinchas was not included in the original Mashicha. He did not on the first round have Kedushas Kuna. The way the Zohar would formulate it, the Pschar that Pinchas is receiving is not that he's being granted Kahuna. He was already, from the get-go, included in Kedushas Kuna. Rather, there was a Psul. The Posel of Ritzicha would have been a Posel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reinstated him as a Kohen in some sort of new kind of kahuna, new chalos kahuna and kedushas kahuna that didn't exist before, but he was included in the original kedushas kahuna. So we have now machlokes, the way the Shem Yishmuel sees it, between the Zohar and the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim assumes that there was no, Pinchas was not included in kahuna until after he killed Zimri, whereas the Zohar assumes he was a kohen all from the start, by virtue of being miyuchas to Elazar, to Aaron, but he would have been disqualified as a result of the act of killing Zimri, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates a category of kahuna, as it were, and that's how Pinchas gets kahuna. But in terms of our question on Rashi with the Gemara and Zvachim, why Pinchas was not included in the original Hiskadshus, the original Minui and Mashiach of kahuna, that question is not addressed at all in the Zohar. The Zohar is only talking about this parsha of the reward of Pinchas in the context and the framework of the psul that should have completely disqualified Pinchas and was suspended as a result of the schar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted to Pinchas. What we want to know is, according to the Gemara in Zvachim and Rashi, that Pinchas was never ever b'chal kahuna. Why is that so? And just by way of introduction, I of course want you to understand that the approach to the Shem Yishmuel is based on mystical concepts, on chassidus. And right off the top, the Shem Yishmuel quotes the Arizal. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this insight, this chiddush of the Arizal, which again is part of the Kabbalistic system. In Kabbalah, of course, when you meet a personality somewhere in the middle of history, he might be an extension or a Gilgal, some sort of recreation or reincarnation of an original soul that lived at the dawn of history. And that's exactly what's going on here in the case of Pinchas, according to the Arizal. Pinchas who shoresh kayin, the root or the source of Pinchas is kayin, which means that in some sense the neshama or the attributes of kayin express and reflect themselves in the personality of Pinchas. Now that's pretty scary, because kayin harag es achiv es hevel. So to that extent that we view Pinchas has an extension of Cain, he, Pinchas, is guilty of the sins of Cain. Or at least we should say his personality personifies those sins of Cain. Says the Ari, Al Cain, therefore, lo nimshachim Aaron v'toldosov. Pinchas was not included in the process of appointing Aaron and his children as Kohanim, ad ata, until this point in which Pinchas gets up and does the Maisa Kanos, shenitkan al yodo hachet hazeh. At this point in time, what Pinchas is doing is he's rectifying the sin of Ritzicha, of murder, which had been committed by Cain. In a sense, he's cleansing himself of that sin, but that sin, in potential at least, in terms of its relationship to the personality of Hevel, was the reason why there was a blockage and Pinchas was not included in Kahuna. This is what we have from the Ari, and the Shemi Shmuel wants to elaborate on this based on an understanding of who Cain is. Meaning, what is the personality of Cain, and what led him to do the terrible things he did? And by way of introduction, we want to say when we discuss the terrible things that Cain did, it's not just limited to the obvious terrible affair of killing his brother, but it goes beyond that. Because Chazal say that Cain espoused heretical views. And he said, Les din v'les dayan, that there's no judge and there's no judgment. And therefore he violated the belief in God. And in that sense, we have two of the three cardinal sins. We have Ritzicha and Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah means the denial of one God. Both of these apply to Cain. But it goes beyond that. Cain also has an aver of Gilui Arayos because he had relations with Hevel's wife, who was actually Hevel's twin sister. And he had a lust for her. And according to that statement in Chazal, Cain was therefore guilty of not only Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos, that's bad enough, but also of Avodah Zarah and Shvichas Dom, that's bad enough, but also of Gilui Arayos. Now, what's the source of this all? What is Cain's problem? Meaning, if we go down to the root of it, we're going to discover what Cain's issue was in life. The name Cain, as any name, is reflective of his essence. Cain is Miloshon Kinyan. Kinyan means ownership or acquisition, something of significance that you purchase or you receive as a chashuv, a gift. Says the Shemi Shmuel, Kol Kinyan Udover Yesh. Now, the word Yesh means it is. Well, okay, everything exists, Yesh Me'ayin, but what the deeper meaning of the word Yesh in the context of the Shemi Shmuel is that he feels himself to be something special. You know, not just the existence, but I'm somebody. I exist. I have a great status. And that, as you can guess, is the beginning of arrogance, of gaiva, of someone who's a gasruach, he's full of himself. Says the Shemi Shmuel, since the essence of Cain is the kinyan of a dover yesh, al kein al yadover yesh be'eni atzmo, he saw himself as something chashuv, v'zeu totzos, kol haroz v'chol akfiros, shomer les din v'les dayin v'over al avodah zarah gilui arayos, shebo'al ta'omoso shel hevel shvichus dom shehorges och echav. So this, if you call it the essence of the evil personality of Cain, because he's so full of himself, that leads him to the Averos, Chamuros, the three cardinal sins. He's full of himself, therefore he thinks that there is no God, and that he could take his brother's wife and eventually take his brother's life. Now here is where Chassidus really, really jumps, and now we can turn on the decibels, you know, turn up the flames. In Chassidus, we don't assume that a negative attribute A midah ra'ah is just that, and that's it in the end of the story. But every midah has two parts to it. It has a part that's evil and a counterpart that's good. And that's what's going to apply here to this kinyan concept. If you channel it properly, there's a good side to this yesh, to this kinyan. La avodas Hashem yisbarach. You know, if I feel I have something definite and unique to contribute for the sake of Hashem, and within the constellation of the people of Israel and the world at large, I have something to give. I have a role to play. I was put here at a certain time, at a certain place, and the challenge is to live up to my calling. And I have to feel good about myself. I have to have a positive self-image, believing in myself, understanding that I'm unique. Every person has to say, Bishvili Nivra Olam. That's the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The world was worth it for me. I mean, that seems like gaiva, but it's not, because it imposes a sense of responsibility, energizes a person to do action when sometimes there's no one else around to do the action. Imein ani li mi li. And the pasuk that's the source, for the root for all this, is in Divrei Hayomim, and that's called Vayigba Libo Bedarkei Hashem. Pasuk is referring to Yehoshaphat, who was one of the great kings of Israel. And Vayigba Libo Bedarkei Hashem is a pasuk that really changes our whole understanding of Gavus Halev and puts it in a proper, precise perspective. Usually, by sheer association, Gavus Halev is something absolutely negative. Haughtiness, when one is full of himself, that has to be rejected totally. But the answer is, if it's Bedarkei Hashem, if I can rechannel that sense of self for the sake of Derech Hashem, the proper way of God, then that's a great thing. And that's the Tzad HaTov Shebekayin, which Chava, when she gave the name to Kayin, she said, Kanisi Ish Es Hashem. My kinyan is this man, this new child that's born Es Hashem for the sake of God, love. Liavdus Hashem Yeh Kinyan Vayesh. Ahu, but unfortunately, Kayin, even though he had the potential for the yesh of good, he instead turned around the yesh, this kinyan, and he used it for evil, b'chinas harashabo. Ah, but Pinchas is going to save the day. Who's Pinchas? He's Mishoresh Kayin, according to the Arizal. Says the Shem Yishmuel, he's going to take Kinol L'Shem Hashem and build it off of the Shoresh of Kain, of the Kinyan, of the Yesh. But he's going to say, I am somebody who, when no one stands up to the plate, I will take that initiative for the sake of Hashem. That's the zealous act of Pinchas that saves Klal Yisrael. And not only that, to prove that it's something coming from within, it's a wellspring from the singular personality of Pinchas. The act of kanos that he implements, lo hayim achuyev bazem mitzad adin, there was no responsibility, no one could obligate and compel Pinchas, or anyone for that matter, to come forward and kill Zimri. Rak machmas godol nafsho, it has something to do with his inner nefesh. Whenever you see something voluntary that's not obligatory, it's indicative of the nefesh, of the real essence of the soul of the personality. Shlo yachol lisbol, he couldn't tolerate the situation as it exists, the immorality that was rampant and obvious. It was in front of the, underneath the sun. It was done publicly. And not only that, it was causing the destruction of Klal Yisrael. He couldn't tolerate it. Acha hugba libo bedarki Hashem, the osa masha osa. He did what he did because of his sense of self. V'zehu mamish hatzad hatov shebekayim. What happens now is that Pinchas rechannels the Tzad HaTov, that very same essence of Kayin, of Kana, of the Kinyan and the Shem and the Yesh, and he upgrades it, he uplifts it, he channels it for good. It's tragic that Kayin didn't do so. He used it for evil. But Pinchas, and especially in this situation where he wasn't doing what he was commanded to do, that really is the Tzad Tov Shebekayin. To Misha Osa Machmash and Itztave, Eina When someone is doing what he's obligated to, he's commanded to do, that doesn't really reflect or demonstrate his gavul libo b'darkei Hashem, his unique move. You know, what moves him is his soul. He's doing it because he's responsible and he's obligated. Anyone else should be doing it in the exact same situation. But when is it really demonstrated? When is it really crystal clear that he's doing it because of some sort of this orus of his own nefesh? That's when it's a dover shus. It's not obligatory. It's voluntarily kani kinnis Hashem. Valkein, and therefore, since it was coming from his, Pinchas' sense of self, it was motivated by his sensitivity and his realization that what was going on here cannot be tolerated, is therefore tikein bozeh shol shaver shebekayim. Now he turns everything around and he rectifies all three averos. First of all, avodah zarah, because the people of Israel were worshipping Pa'ar. Secondly, gilui arayos, of course, and ischabru lebas kel nechar. El nechar. That this was a sexual immoral act that the people of Israel were guilty of, and Pinchas came to rectify that, to take the life of Zimri and Cosby. Where does Shfichas Domim come in, by the way? Where are the Jewish people responsible for Shfichas Domim? Sharotzeach memait esdmus ha'odah. Here the Shem Yishpul has to sort of backtrack and redefine terminologies, broaden our understanding of Ritzich, of murder. Murder is essentially, if we abstract it and go down to its abstract root, if we strip it of all its concrete logistical applications, what we're left with is Memayit es Dmus HaOdom. The Dmus, God created man, B'Tzalmenu Kidmusenu, it's the Tzelem Elokim, and that's what you destroy through murder. So the essence of murder is completely undermining and destroying the dmus of Adam. And that's what happened when the people of Israel sinned with Pa'ar. That was Memaitis HaDmus. And the opposite of Ritzicha is obviously Hatzolah, says the Shem Yishmul, add that to Booth, for who Hitzel es Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, V'lo Kilisius B'nei Yisrael B'kinasi. Therefore, at the end of the day, if we calculate it, we find that there was, on the part of Pinchas, a tikkun of these three averus of Kayin, and therefore what Pinchas was able to do by rectifying is utilizing the chelek hatov sheba Kayin. And that's where Pinchas becomes, in a sense, antithetical to Kayin, in a sense, the exact opposite, tzad hatov against tzad hara, v'shuv hayoroi lios kohen. And now, the reason why they didn't appoint him and anoint him as Kohen is because he had the Nefesh of Kayin. Yeah, but now that he had the Nefesh of Kayin as the good side, now he is fit to be a Kohen. And at this point, we would have thought the Shem Yishmul is ready to pack his bags, and he said enough. Shem Yishmul wants to go for another round. He says, Achadayin, he says, nevertheless, I still need clarification. Dohatenachim achar amaisa ze hoyunim shachim aron ubonov. If it would have been historically in chronological sequence that Pinchas did the tikkun for the averos of Kayin before, and then subsequently there was Mashicha, there was the appointment of Aron ubonov, then we could have said, very simply, that Pinchas was included in the original process of his kadshus of sanctifying kahuna. He too was in there. You'll tell me, as the Ari says, that since he's shorish kayin, therefore lo nimshach. Yeah, but the answer is, he's already taken himself, identified himself with the tov sheva shorish kayin, before the Mashiach, and then he would have been included in the Mashiach. But that didn't happen. So we didn't luck out. The Mashiach took place before Pinchas had killed Zimri, and therefore before the tikkun on the chait of Cain had actually transpired, and therefore Pinchas couldn't have been part of the Mashiach. Aval mi'achar sha'oz lo nimshach, but now, bottom line, Pinchas was not included in the Mashiach, and Cain may ayin zocha atalakuna. So even though we've already established that now Pinchas has done a rectification, that's only a hosaras moneh, that only removes some sort of a blockage. But we need more of a positive reason to justify why Pinchas receives kahuna. Do you understand the question of the Shemi Shmuel at this point? You know, again, as I said before, he could have packed his bags, finito, he's got a beautiful shtickel Torah, the presentation is stunning, based on the Ari, the connection between Pinchas and his ancestor, Kai. That everything fits into place. But the Shemi Shmuel is more demanding, he's not happy with it, and he wants to take it a step further. And why is that? Because if, bottom line, Pinchas could only straighten out the record later on, after, subsequent to the Mashiach, he was not part of the Mashiach. If he was not part of the Mashiach, then alright, so now you're saying that he has no blemish against him. He's not to be excluded because of his identification with the personality of Cain. You know, Cain personifies evil and expresses itself in the three cardinal sins. Pinchas does not. Good, that's wonderful. But we still have to dig deeper, says the Shemi Shmuel, to figure out that even though he's no longer got negative, but now we have to give him kahuna because he wasn't part of the original process of receiving kahuna, what positive schuyot or merits would have afforded Pinchas with the right to receive kahuna? And here the Shemi Shmuel makes a very sharp move by quoting a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin at the end of the ninth parak is very strange, but certainly throws in a whole new curveball, a whole new perspective into this entire parasha of Pinchas. As we said at the outset of today's shiur, Pinchas had his detractors. There were those who saw what Pinchas did and they cried out against him, they lashed out against him. According to the version of the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, Ratzu Linadoso, they wanted to put Pinchas into Nidu, which is a kind of excommunication. And now's not the time to discuss the differences, the fine-tuned differences between Nidu and Cherem. For our purposes, we'll equate them. But when you have an individual who maybe cannot be judged in a court of law for whatever reason, but we need some sort of punishment against him to separate him from society because of his criminal deeds, what we use is nidui. And according to the Yerushalmi, that's what his detractors wanted to do. Hashem stepped in, ululei shekaftzal of ruach hakodesh v'omra. The Ruach HaKodesh somehow descended on Pinchas and declared, "V'haisa lo l'zaro achrav bris kuhunas olam," to absolutely vindicate Pinchas, cleanse his record. He's not worthy of nidui, and so the ball was dropped on the nidui prospect, on that proposal. But the Gemara makes no sense. Let's think about the mindset of those detractors, those who were in the anti-Pinchas camp, who wanted to put him into need. L'chor ha'dvarim t'mun to be marvshach. Im yadu halach l'mosh mi'sinai shekanoim pogim bo. If they understood the halachic license for Pinchas to take the life of Zimri, im kein lama ratzul and adosu, why would they want to put him into need? V'im lav, your other possibility, we've eliminated the first possibility, we're only left with the second one, that they were not aware of this complex halacha of kanoim pogim bo. Now, if that be the case, then what's the status of Pinchas? He's a rotzeach. They put him to death. Capital punishment, ritzicha? Now, you'll tell me, well, it's not ritzicha because Pinchas was doing it against a sinner. He was killing a sinner. Says the Shemi Shmuel. Haga Atzmacha, what do you think the din would be? He's being facetious here. Ilu Achal Adam, let's call him Reuven. Reuven eats Chalef. Uba Chaver comes with Shimon Bahargo. Shimon is so upset with Reuven's eating Chalef that he takes Reuven's life. He kills him. Bavade Loya put him in Amisa. We would not vindicate, we would not exempt him from capital punishment because he killed a criminal. There's no license to kill a criminal, and you will die for killing a criminal. So therefore, in the mindset of those detractors, given the fact that they did not understand the halacha of Kano and Pogimbo, and therefore Pinchas had no license to kill Zimri, they should have put Pinchas to death. Why this flabby kind of second, you know, fallback position, a second-rate punishment of Nidui? So the Shemi Shmuel, in order to explain the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, he quotes his father, the Sukkot of a Rebbe. That's the Igli Tal or the Avnei Nezer. And the Avnei Nezer points out another Gemara in Nazir that we might have missed here in our discussion about Pinchas and his Maisa Kanos. The Sugya in Nazir on Daf Chav Gimel and Beis is a famous one. It's called Avera Lishma. Now, what that means, Avera Lishma, is a very complicated business, but on a superficial level, it means someone who committed a crime, clearly violated the Torah law, but for the sake of Lishma, of L'Shem Shamayim. And the Gemara specifically hones in on the case of Tamar. If you remember, Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, and Zinsa, she went out as a Zona, and she had relations with her father-in-law. And who came out of Tamar? Who is on the roster included amongst her descendants? David HaMelech, Melachim, Neviim, and other Neviim. And the Gemara goes on, after describing Tamar as your paradigm of Avera Lishma, meaning where her intentions were for the good, because she wasn't given Shelah in marriage for Yibum to perpetuate the family, and she knew that this was a great royal family, so she herself took the initiative and had relations with Yehuda. Would you say it's an Avera? It's a terrible Avera, but on the other hand, it was done Lishma. And the proof of the pudding, the crown of it all, is that she was the mother of David HaMelech, ultimately of Melech HaMashiach. So all these great things come out of that relationship between her and Yehuda. How could it be? It must be that how great is Aver Lishma, Gdol Aver Lishma. But the Gemara continues, and that's what the Sugya Shava's point is. Zimri, the Gemara asks, Zina v'nerag al yado kamarivos Yisrael. And the Gemara is wondering and comparing and contrasting Zimri to Tamar, meaning that Tamar was justified because of the halacha of Aver Lishma. Zimri, under the same halacha of Aver Lishma, apparently, was not justified. And as a result, so many thousands upon thousands of Jews perished. Says the Sukkot Shava, ki mi the Hishvu, Chazal, Znus Tamar, Znus Zimri, from the very premise of equating the Znus of Tamar with the Znus of Zimri, Shmamina must be that Kemosha Kavanas Tamar Isol Hashem Shemayim, just to the same extent that Tamar was interested and motivated for the sake of heaven, Kach Kavanas Zimri. So too Zimri was motivated for the sake of heaven. Again, he may have made a major mistake that's going to cost him his life, but in terms of pure intention, as we evaluate his intention, his motivation, it was Lishma. Now, the Sukkot Shavuot himself does not explain what was the Lishma element in Zimri taking Cosby in this sexual relationship. The Shemi Shmuel says, Yesh Lahosiv Bazeh, he tries to expand upon his father's Chiddush. And Toz Zimri, I said, what was the mistake in Zimri? Why was he motivated with Lishem Shemayim, but he made a major blunder? Because Cosby, he didn't know how to evaluate Cosby, who was the Midyanis, Mibase, you know, Beis HaMelech, she was a princess of Midian. In the evaluation of Zimri, Chashav, he believed Shekvar Nichda'a, that she gave up her idolatrous religions, you know, the Pa'ar of Midian. And not only that, she subjugated herself to Kedusha, meaning she entered into Kedusha. Now, he falls short of using the word Gerus, but from the next piece in the Shemi Shmuel, I get the impression he's talking about Gerus, that somehow, in the mind of Nesi Shimon, that's Zimri, she, Cosby, was a Jewess. Well, I don't know. That's a little tricky, but look at the next line. He says, Ke'inyan shamu chazal berachav hazona de'igaira the Nasba Yeshua. Yeshua married Rachel Azona after she converted. And it would seem Kmochein Chashval Kazvi that in the mind of Zimri, Kazvi also went through some sort of conversion. Again, I don't know where the Beis Din was and what, you know, what was the process or the procedure that he doesn't go into. Umashe Tol Lachshov came. Now, how was Kazvi able to fool Zimri into believing that she herself had become, had adopted the Jewish religion and entered into Kedushas Yisrael? So to explain that, he quotes a Zohar, and once again, we're a little bit shy of understanding these Kabbalistic concepts, but it seems, according to the Zohar, she was a great sorcerer, and she was able to do something which is called Achizat Einayim, like a magician when he fools you into thinking that, you know, because his hands move at the speed of light, that he pulled out a certain number of cards that couldn't have possibly been there. That's called Achizat Einayim, where you fool the eyes. And she was able, through her powers of Kishuv, to fool them. It led to the possibility that we could mistakenly think Shekfari Nimtekes, she's completely cut off from her family, her religion. V'nichna l'kedusha, she's accepted Kedusha. V'zeo Sha'amar, and that's why Kazvi turned to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm sorry, Zimri turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and he declared, Bas Yisro mihitar lecha, who allowed you to marry the daughter of Yisro? And that statement doesn't make a bit of sense, because the Medrash tells us that Tzipora was a Tzipora Tahora. She entered into the Jewish faith and she was pure. In Kain Mazu Ashela, how can he even think and dream to equate his, meaning Zimri's taking of Kazvi, to Moshe Rabbeinu's taking of Tzipora? What's the tushta? Achu hadavar shetav v'chashiv shekam he, meaning even Kazvi, like Tzipora, kfar nichna l'kedusha, she accepted the Jewish religion, and therefore he says, look, Moshe, you have a claim against me. I'm marrying a Gioris. You married a Gioris. We're all on the same turf. Says the Shem Yishmuel, Hinehu, referring to Zimri, Chashav Lasos Haver L'Shma, that we have already from the Sukkot Shavuot. So Zimri's intentions were L'Shem Shamayim. Ach, lo also b'yado, he never succeeded, because Kazvi was not who she was proposed to be, or who he thought she was. It was all pretension. And you could also add here, perhaps what the Shem Yishmuel is implying, I don't know, is that in the act itself, in which Zimri has an intimate relationship with Kazvi, maybe there was an admixture of lust. And therefore, at the end of the day, the strict law would be, Hine kol ha-mechuyav misa be-bezdin, if we could have taken Zimri and tried him in a Jewish court of law for having relations with a Midianite woman, but again, that can't be done. It's only kind of unpogan, but we can't take him to Beis Din because he had relations with a non-Jewish woman, which is punishable either by God up in heaven or by a kanoi down in earth. And the proof is Mekoshesh, which according to Targum Yonason is L'Shem Shavayim Niskavim V'afal Pichei Nerag V'Bezden Shal Moshe Rabbeinu. So as far as strict law in a Jewish court, all these kavanos and all these intentions as pure and as motivated by God, they are, it's irrelevant. If there was Asra, if there was a violation with all the conditions in front of two witnesses, that person is put to death. And that's what they do with the Mekoshesh Eitzim. Aval bazeh, but in the case of Zimri, in contrast to the case of Mekoshesh Eitzim, Shemidina Eino Mechuyev Misa, we can't put him to death. It wasn't like he was having an incestuous relationship or he was having adultery with a married woman. He was certainly in doing a terrible act of immorality with a non-Jewish woman, but that's not punishable in a Jewish court of law. And the only thing that's available here in order to put him in his place is kanos. is therefore hayamuta lahargo. Again, we couldn't have put him to death in a bezdin, but you're allowed to put him to death as an act of kanos. However, here you might be machalik. Here's the lumps. If a person does a full-fledged maisa machayev misa in bezdin with all the conditions, then of course the intent, and no matter how pure they are, and the motivation of the sinner is all totally irrelevant. It's left out of court. But here, that in bezdin shalmat, in strict law, we cannot possibly convict and punish Zimri, so we fall into a whole new category of law called Kanoim Pogimbo. Maybe within the context of Kanoim Pogimbo, the intention of the sinner and the criminal who is involved in perpetrating this act should be a very relevant factor. And here's where the Shevi Shmuel steps up to the plate. And he says, "Me'achas shekavona Zimri ha'osa ma'isa oisa l'shem shamayim shuv lo shach kanos." Bo ulahargo. Technically, we should not recommend in any shape or form the implementing the law of Kanoim Pogimbo. Kanoim Pogimbo is against someone who is an absolute sinner in the full sense of it, emotionally, motivationally. He's a no good bum. He's an absolute criminal. We have to get rid of him. That's called Kanoim Pogimbo. But how can we apply Kanoim Pogimbo against someone who, at least in his own mind, was motivated to do this avera lishma? He thought it was l'shem shamayim. And therefore we should take into consideration the intention and the pure motivation of Zimri, and we should completely suspend the principle of Kanoim Pogimbo. V'ad Rabbi says, yesh lo rachmonis alei. We should have compassion over Zimri. The afshe kavanoso iso l'tova, afal pichen nilkad bepach. His intentions were pure, but he fell on his face. It was a bomb. There was no justification for his action in the true reality of it. Cosby was who she was, a Midianite princess. She was not a member of Klal Yisrael in any shape or form. And therefore, the act of Zimri could not qualify as an aver lishma, but at least we should certainly feel a sense of rachmanis, of compassion. Our heart should go out for him because he was motivated based on his understanding to do it lishma. V'zu haisa tainas hanosh. Now we understand the approach of the detractors, as we saw in the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin. Shebikshu lindos es Pinchas. Why did they find Nidui as this middle of the road, you know, stopgap measure, this kind of a second-rate, flabby punishment? According to strict law, the act of Zimri was an act that would generate Kanoim Pogimbo. You know, given the act itself as a dry act, you know, if you see it, you take it on a video screen, then certainly Kanoim Pogimbo should kick in, and Pinchas has every right to destroy Zimri. And you'll tell me, well, Pinchas, don't you have to investigate the mindset and the motivations of the person you're about to kill? No, you're not mechuyev to do that. Kanoim Pogimbo is implemented, is activated, as long as the action per se, in objective terms, is one that Kanoim Pogimbo, which it was. Nevertheless, it's not that Pinchas was obligated to investigate, but it was known, based on the whole harangue, the whole speech, and maybe other simonim, that Zimri made this statement in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, then even Pinchas heard it and knew that the motivation of Zimri was pure. And therefore, although from the get-go there would be no responsibility upon Pinchas or any Kanoi to investigate the thoughts and the motivations of the person he's about to kill in Kanos, but nevertheless, in this case, where it was public knowledge, or at least certainly Pinchas knew what the Kavana was, then Kanoim Pogimbo should not apply. Again, strictly speaking, if we isolate the Maisa of Zimri and the Maisa of Pinchas in return, what we have is a heter gomer, an absolute license for Pinchas to kill Zimri. But on the other hand, since we want to assume that Pinchas should have been more compassionate, he should have judged Zimri favorably and realized that Zimri was working with a certain principle or premise, which although albeit was mistaken, but nevertheless to have compassion on someone who made this mistake, therefore we got to do something to Pinchas. This is not a good thing that he did. And therefore Pinchas should be put into Nidui. Again, strictly we can't put him to death because of the Kanaloch of Kanoim Pogimbo. But on the other hand, since Kanoim Pogimbo should not kick in, given the fact that Pinchas was aware of the motivation and the Lishma of Zimri, we should at least, at the very least, put him into Nidui because it was not a good thing that Pinchas killed Zimri. However, the Shem Yishmul continues. He says, Ach be'emes gam Pinchas yodam. He said, in truth, Pinchas knew that Zimri was motivated by the right idea, Aveir Lishma, the Gemara Nazir, but Afal Pichein, Ba'asher HaYoroe, since Pinchas was aware, as everybody else was, he was Eid L'Dover, Sha'negef Nogef V'chol Yisrael B'sakana, the entire Jewish people are in jeopardy of total destruction. The Magefa, like a fire, a raging fire is spreading. And now, what's in the balance here is the future of Klal Yisrael. So, should Pinchas now be worried and sympathetic because, oh, let's look at Zimri and his motivations and what does he think about Cosby? Or should we look at it in objective terms? Is there room for Kanoim Pogubo? And now, Pinchas, which you might consider at first glance an act of cruelty, but he's doing it for the sake of Klal Yisrael, he's going to implement this act of kanos. Pinchas lo ishgiach al kol eile. He didn't put any thought into this whole business here, as to what Cosby looked like, and what Zimri thought of her, and what his motivations are. Forget about all that. We're witnessing a tragedy of tragedies. The ultimate, what could be the destruction of Klal Yisrochman, and therefore, Mosar Gamis Nishmoso, he's willing to say that if he could achieve the goal and save Klal Yisrael, I don't care what they're going to do to me, and what Nidui they're going to, maybe even they'll punish me in a court of law. Afilu al Manas Sheikori Rotseach, even if they'll classify him as a Rotseach. Also, he didn't hesitate. Bishvil lahatzil es Yisrael, he was motivated to save the people of Israel, and that's what he's going to do. And now we can understand why this was one of our original questions. The Torah went out of its way to tell us that Pinchas is the grandson of Aaron. Why the yichus back to his grandfather? Zu bi atzma midas Aaron Hakohen. If we understand what Aaron is all about, his essence, his very being, the history of his actions, she zocha l'kuhuna, and why was he zocha to kuhuna? Because he wanted to save Klal Yisrael. What episode does the Shem Yishmul have in mind? At what point in time was Klal Yisrael about to just fall off a precipice into a deep ravine? At the moment of Asiyas Ha'egel. I mean, the tides were very profound, and the people were being swept away towards nothingness, towards Avodah Zorah. And Aaron stepped in, and even though he realized it was a terrible thing for him to be an active participant, play a role in the creation of the Egel, nevertheless, it was a part of a plan to slow down the process before it would completely undermine and destroy the Jewish people. So to read the language of the Shem Yishmul, v'zubi atzma midas Aaron HaKohen, shezocha l'kuna l'yidei asiyah sa'egel b'nei shemosar nafsho v'nishmosar avur Klal Yisrael, kemuvur b'medrash, he was willing to give it all up for the sake of Klal Yisrael. That's the love of Aaron for Klal Yisrael. Al kein zocha l'kuna g'dola mitzad atzmo, v'lo shehu mitzad zaro shel Aaron levad. Just like Aaron was granted kahuna, so too Pinchas was granted kahuna. And this answers the original question: How could Pinchas become a Kohen if he wasn't part of the original Mashicha? So whatever you'll explain in terms of the Arizal and the connection between Pinchas and Kayin, but what's the positive zchus, as we said? You know, you want to push aside any negativism in terms of the Averos of Cain and how they relate to Pinchas, that's one thing. But what's the positive aspect that gives Pinchas the zchus to become a Kohen? And the answer is exactly like Aaron had that zchus, because of his love for Klal Yisrael, his willingness to put his life on the line and his entire future for the sake of Klal Yisrael, to be accused of being guilty of participating in the Avodah Zarah of the Chet Egel. Nevertheless, Aaron does everything for the sake of Klal Yisrael. The same thing applies to Pinchas. What were his detractors saying, as Rashi points out in the name of Chazal?
They
falsely accused Pinchas of being through Yisro in the line of Cain. He should have judged Zimri favorably, and instead of killing him, he should have saved him. And therefore, he's like Cain. He's interested in vengeance, in vehement and violent crimes. No, al zebar kosv yichzachar Aaron, haynu lo mitzad shu nimshach achar maisa Cain, hak she nimshach achar Aaron umidoso. It's not just enough that Pinchas cuts himself off, as he certainly did, from the midos of Cain. That itself would not give him kuhuna, because he wasn't nimshach. But since he embodied, he personified the midah of Aaron, the love for Knesset Yisrael, the willingness to be Moser Nefesh for the sake of Knesset Yisrael, despite the fact that he would be accused of Ritzicha, but that's what he was willing to do. His midah of love, of Ava, is what grants him the ability and the zchus, the merit, Limsar Nafshin Shmosav or Klal Yisrael, and therefore the Ruach HaKodesh granted him kahuna. May we all be zocha to follow in the footsteps of Aaron and of Pinchas, to be willing to be Moser Nefesh because of our love for all of Klal Yisrael.